Chapter 5, verse 14. What would be the greatest adversity that could befall or trapped on the majority of the Christian people? What would be the one of the greatest adversity? Would that be sickness? Would that be financial loss? Or would that be marriage problem? They all sound awful, isn't it? Aren't they? Huh? Complacency, that's another good one. The one I'm looking at within the context of tonight's study is, I would say, prosperity. Prosperity. Why? When we go through a difficult time, when we have nothing to hold on to, nothing to lean on to, guess what? It becomes simple. Our life becomes simple. When we don't have anything to eat, we don't have a whole lot to eat, we don't have a bank account, and we don't have a CD in the bank, or, come on, help me out, Dave. Well, what else is there? Stop. Brand new car. Okay, and the money market, and the stock market, and NASDAQ, all of that stuff. When we don't have all of that, life becomes simple. Just eating would be nice. Paying bill would be nice. Some of you guys there, I've been there, and still going through. I was looking at my checkbook, and I said, thank God this week is a payday. Payday week. I'm tired of this. Is it not?
No.
Oh, brother, I'm in trouble. I spent the money. Anyway. We'll see how far that my check's going to bounce. It is difficult for many people to handle the prosperity. Last week, if you remember, I asked you to give you the assignment. Do you remember anything? Remember, what was the assignment last week? Okay. If you had a $40 million cash in your name and no string attached, would you trust God? Would you trust God? It sounds, yeah, of course, within the Bible said, oh, yeah, I would trust God. Oh, yeah, no problem. All the way. When you find somebody who needs help, even a good thing, probably we won't ask God, do you want me to help that person? Probably will say, let me write a check for you. Nothing wrong with that. In human side, nothing wrong with that. However, that person might be in training. God may not want us to help them. If we help them, we get in the way. You follow me? So do we really seek God when everything goes our way? That is an important question for us to ask. There are very few people who can handle prosperity. Few people who can handle high position. I believe that's the one reason why God does not put all of us in that prosperity thing. Some of you guys heard the word prosperity gospel. Have any of you guys heard the prosperity gospel? You know what that is? For those who do not know what the prosperity gospel is, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. So you name this, say, God, give me this kinds of money. God, I claim that house. I claim that car. I claim the more money. I claim the health. There are a lot of people who don't have a good health, but they are godly people. One example, quick example, Johnny Erickson Tata. Do you know that lady? Do you think she didn't have a faith to believe in God can heal her? But yet, for how many years? Over quarter, 30 years now? Since she was a teenager, she broke her neck and she became quadriplegic. She cannot move one thing under her shoulder. She can drive a van with her shoulder now. However, God used her more greatly in touching those who cannot be touched if she was healed. So how dare we to tell God how he should do it? See, remember we studied about the love of money is the root of all evil. There was one man who was, I think it was Getty. And he was asked, how much do you have for you to satisfy the, and not wanting any more? He said, just a little more. That's greed. Not many people can handle prosperity. It's not because we are so wonderful, God had to give it to us because His grace, His goodness, His kindness, His love for us. He chose to bless us with His blessing. In other words, we can get our head so big, we cannot even walk into the door spiritually because we think we have something special going on. We don't. We are wicked sinner, forgiven by the grace of God. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Not many people can handle the prosperity and keep the integrity. In other words, listen to me, please. Integrity scales with prosperity. I'm not saying those who have a lot of money don't have integrity. I've seen a lot of people, a lot of godly, rich people who has integrity beyond what I can even possibly come up with. But not everybody is capable to do so. We have nothing to show for in status, while integrity doesn't demand much. But one thing we have is holiness and godliness, holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we will start from that. That's a good start. Let's go think about the three people. Before we go there, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, teach us. Let us know what you want us to do with the integrity, honesty, in the midst of your blessing. Don't let us think that because you bless us, that it has anything to do with us. But let us remember where that blessing is coming from. Let us remember the source and give you all the glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I make three examples of bad guys in the Bible. Number one, Samson. In my opinion, he is the strongest wimp in the Bible. Why? Because he could not control his passion. And he didn't have an obedient heart toward God. That's a bad combination, ladies and gentlemen. Uncontrollable passion and disobedient heart. Until the last time, until the last breath, he never obeyed God. And then he asked God to help him, and God grant him last wish. If you can find one time he praying to God other than the last moment, I'll give you $100. He never prayed once until he died. So what does that mean to us? It calculates as no prayer, no integrity, no honesty, no godliness. Make sense to you guys? All right, second guy that we find is David. Yes, David is a great king. David is a godly man, but at the same time, we all know there is a couple of areas that he fell short. One is while he was in the wilderness, he made himself an ally with Philistine people. And then he made himself available that during the time. When all the other kings went to the battle with his soldiers, guess what the King David did? He walked on the top of the roof in the cool of the day and looking at whom he should not. One thing after another, he ended up in the pit that he would regret the rest of his life. And as a matter of fact, he did. Because of that incident, he committed adultery and murder. During the time of his adultery and until Nathan, the prophet, came to him and sticking his long index finger to his breastbone and said, you are the man. until he said that during the 1 year period, ladies and gentlemen, he did not have one psalm recorded, one prayer recorded in the Bible. Again, that translates to no prayer, no holiness, no righteousness, no godliness. Third character I find is wisest fool. Guess who that is? Solomon. He asked for God, when God gave him blank check, whatever you want. He didn't ask for Haman. Get that. This guy is has a serious problem. He didn't ask for Haman, but he asked for the wisdom. He did ask for the wisdom because to govern God's people. Until then, he was doing very fine. And he got the wisdom from God and the rich. He is the wisest man. He is the richest man in the human history. To the Jewish people during the dynasty of the Solomon, silver was considered nothing. It was at prosper. Excuse me. So too much rich, too much absolute power corrupt the man. One thing he forgot is where that blessing came from. Since he dedicated the temple of Solomon, you don't find a prayer other than speaking to God about the wisdom. You don't find a prayer of Solomon again. He married to so many women that you cannot even count. You need an Excel spreadsheet to get their names done. And bottom line is those foreign women drag him down to the pit. No prayer, no righteousness, no holiness, no godliness. Now, let's find the three good examples. Number one of my favorite characters would be Joseph. From rag to rich. From former slave of Egypt, Captain Potiphar, accused by Mrs. Potiphar, end up in the prison for 2 years, neglected by his friends. And now, from that to the prime minister of Egypt, in complete control, and Pharaoh did not know what the heck's going on other than what he's going to eat that night. Complete trust. God bless you. So he went from the rag to rich, and he kept his faith in God in the midst of the idolatrous nation, Egypt. See, a lot of people try, I'm just going sideways just for the heck of it. A lot of pastors try to please congregation. I have no intention to please you guys. I'm going to make it very clear to you. I have no intention to please you guys. But I have one intention. I'm going to please God. If I please God, guess what? I'm going to please you guys. If you truly follow God. My job is to please God and serve you, not please you and discard God. These people try to please, the former three people try to please people around him, around themselves, and end up displeasing God. But the three people, including Joseph, guess what they did? They pleased God. Second person, he's my favorite character in the whole Bible other than Jesus. Daniel. Yeah, he's Daniel. He stood tall in the midst of Babylon culture. He was a young captive, first generation captive into the Babylon. And from that position, he rose to the second man and right-hand man of King Nebuchadnezzar. He rose from rag to rich, in spite of all the problem, all the things against him. People didn't like him, and he did not have a homeland to look toward. And to make the matter worse, he did not have a whole lot of friends to lean on to. If that's not bad enough, Jewish culture is not allowed. They even changed his name. And he changed his language. In spite of all that odds against him, he stood tall and he kept the faith in God. Remember the time when they tried to nail him, but they could not find any dirt under him? Even the tabloid, the Babylonian tabloid, they cannot find anything about him. So what they did, they put the trap on him. If anyone prayed to any other than you, Jokse, king, and let them be thrown into lion, den of lion. You know what Daniel did? You all know that. He still prayed. He did not change his lifestyle to save his own skin. All right, let's come to the modern day. Dr. Billy Graham, man of God. He is quite a man. Probably he's the, in my opinion, the most well-known Christian. Again, tabloid cannot even find a dirt of him. Even the tabloid talk good about him. That gives a great testimony, don't you believe? Don't you think? How often do you see the tabloid talk bad about the, Billy Graham? You don't find them. He kept himself so humble in the midst of this power, fame, prosperity. If you notice, all president of the United States invite him at the first time of his office and invite him to have a lunch or breakfast, whatever, and ask him to pray for them. And he does. Even Bill Clinton, bless his heart. So, he kept himself so pure, so holy. Yet when he had an interview with Peter Jennings of ABC, he said that Dr. Graham, when you go to heaven, what would God tell you? And he smiled very quietly. He said, I hope that I get to hear from him, well done, good and faithful servant. When I heard that, I thought, if you have a problem with that, I'm toast. I might as well start to clean the bathroom in the heaven. I would never get to see God. So that reminds me his humbleness. He was not faking. To him, integrity is exceptionally important. He wouldn't walk into the hotel alone. He's always accompanied by male associate. He wouldn't walk into the hotel elevator all by himself, lest that some other woman walk in and take a picture, and there it is, tabloid cover. And he does not answer hotel room door. He always have somebody in the room, and that person stay with him, with Dr. Graham. Do you think that he can get tired of that? Yeah, you can bet on it. But he keeps integrity. No wonder why the tabloid, National Inquirer, cannot find the dirt on him. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Stick your finger to Nehemiah. Let's go to Proverbs 1, 7, please. You were wondering if I ever going to go to the Bible, right? Come on, this is Calvary Chapel. We go to read the Bible. Proverbs 1:7. How do we get the integrity? This is the starting point. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge, O wisdom, some of your version says, but fool despise wisdom and instruction. None of Joseph and Daniel and Billy Graham's promotion got into their head. They understood the real source of blessing. Unlike Samson, David, and Solomon. Of course, they are all blessed. Remember, Samson was a judge for 20 years. He had a power that cannot be compared with anyone. He would make our special forces look like some bunch of wimps. How often do you hear somebody killing 1,000 soldiers with the job of a donkey? Jawbone of a donkey. We don't. But he did, because of God's anointing upon him. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is recorded in his life. He did not know when the Holy Spirit left him. When the Delilah trapped him. He did not know Holy Spirit left him because he could have cared less about Holy Spirit. The promotion only comes from God. When we try to generate, remember what I said before, this is a common saying in Calvary Chapel, whatever we strive to obtain, we have strive to maintain. The promotion, let's remember, only comes from God. Verse 14 of chapter 5, Nehemiah. Let's see how the Nehemiah held his promotion as a governor. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be the governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of the king of the Xerxes, 12 years, neither know I nor my brothers at the governor's provision. Did you notice how he word this thing carefully? I was, what, appointed. He didn't say, I made myself as a governor. Or I became a governor. He was appointed. He knew where the source blessing is coming from. Calvary Chapel ordination paper states, we acknowledge your the ordination of this man for this man. It does not say, we ordain this man. In other words, ordination of the man of God from God. And some people really hyped up about, you know, seminary degrees or Bible college degree, which I have neither one of them. I've been in seminary, not even close to gate. And some people is really hyped up about ordination. Guess what? I don't have it either. But I can print out from my printer very easily because I didn't that thing. I even have a signature, so I can slap that thing under there too. It is God's ordination; it's not man's ordination. To kind of make a silly argument with those who are concerned about the Bible college degree or seminary degree, I asked them, "Do you know the Apostle Peter and John or James, brother of James, one of them had the seminary degrees or the Bible college degrees, not even ordained. And on top of what, Jesus didn't have ordination either. He was ordained by God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. It's not about any man. Psalm 75, please. At this rate, probably we will finish tonight's study at 9 o'clock. Psalm 75. Verse 6 and 7. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put down one and exalt another. Nehemiah did not allow himself and his group to become the lord over the people of Jerusalem. Specialists who are going to be deacons, you know, who some of you guys are already here. Those people, listen carefully. Just because you become deacons of the Calvary Chapel, that doesn't mean you become the head honcho or running the show. As I said before, become official slaves. Just a nice title. More work to do. That's it. All right, there's a four areas tension against the leaders. You may say, well, I'm not the leader, so I don't have to listen to them. No, you are a leader, all of you. Because you will show the example of Jesus Christ to other people. That means you are the leader. First one is a privilege. When we get to be in a particular area that as a leader or receive prosperity, it comes with a privilege. Can be a certain right or a certain benefit or a special favor. Few men can resist that kind of thing, but Nehemiah did not abuse. We just read he did not use God's provision. He used his own. Let's remember, absolute power corrupts people. All right, so some of you guys thinking, aren't you in the position of absolute power in Calvary Chapel? You're the head honcho, so you can run the show as you want. Yes, that's true, but I report to God, number one, and put to board of directors. And there are six men, including plus myself. They are board of directors. And none of them had a problem telling me in my face, no. They would say, which part of no you don't understand? By our bylaw can decide with the majority vote. But I choose to go by unanimous vote because I don't want those guys to come back to me with that infamous saying, I told you so. So I'll go by it unanimous vote. If they don't agree, we stop and go back out and seek God's face. Second thing we find is policy. That's one of the tempting area. No matter what position the promotion involves, stepping into the area where we didn't going into somebody's sandals, somebody's shoes. Two kinds of pressures. One, maintaining what we had before. Want to become a leader or the one who change leading the different project. And may have to make a change. So either maintain it or change it. A lot of people tend to stay in the maintaining. And a lot of people don't want to change. As I said before from the beginning of the study, we will constantly change. So get used to it. Okay? Don't say, oh, we didn't do that before. Well, alright. So change it. We'll be better. We don't want to be stale, right? Some of you guys have been at your home, or some of you have been in the mountain area where the water can come down and stay in one area, right? What happened to that water? Get stale and become bad. But constant one water don't have a problem. That's the reason why we put the pump in the pool, why we put the pump in the spa. So constant circulation of the water will make a difference. Let's go to verse 15 of Nehemiah chapter 5. The governor, the former governors who were there before, who were before me, they laid a burden on the people, took from them the bread and wine, and beside the 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even the servant bore the rule over the people. But I did not do so because of the what? Fear of God. That is very important. As we read in Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is what? Beginning of the wisdom, beginning of the knowledge. Let's remember the fear of God. The fear of God will put us, keep us away from sin. It will keep us away from the stupidity. How did Nehemiah act upon this? Three things that he found is they heavily taxed on and they the land away from them, burdened them. They took the money and the food away from them. So, verse 6, we find, indeed, I also did work on this wall. Number one, that's one. And we did not buy any land. That's second. And all my servants were gathered there for the work. What happened? He did not forget what he was supposed to do. How often do we find new leader comes in, guess what? The old leader's pet subject, a pet project out the window. The new leader come up with their own thing. Start new. It can be the same thing with a different name. However, Nehemiah did not forget what he was there for, building the wall. He kept at it. Verse 17, and we'll go all the way to the 18a. And at my table there were 150 Jews and rulers beside those who come to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was one ox and six horse sheep, and a fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days abundance of all kind of wine. He could easily wrap himself in this new party and promotion thing and a new privilege, but he remembered what he was supposed to do. The fourth area that leaders get tempted is a people. Meat and potato of every leadership is a people, ladies and gentlemen. I saw enough pastors in Calvary Chapel who keep their congregation in arm length. You know what I'm talking about? Somehow, some pastors think that, well, their congregation, I got to protect myself, my teaching time or whatever. I agree. Teaching time needs to be protected, but not all of the people. That's why If I can remember, all of you received my business card, correct? Any of you guys did not receive a business card? And I told you, call me anytime if you need me. And at the same time, I told you, you call me 2 o'clock in the morning for chit-chat, I'll hang up on you, right? I'm available. If I'm not going to handle, if I'm not going to deal with you guys, I should not as a pastor. And some pastors choose not to do that. I learned that, and I choose not to do it. People are there to be served, to serve. As a leader, I'm there to serve them. American, average American executive's lifespan. Guess how many years? American executives in the corporate office, how many years they're going to stay there? Average. 20 years? You're generous. Huh? 4? Try less than 3 years. IBM, Brown, Quest, Dex Media, the one I'm working for. By the way, which our company name so often we have it with the Velcro. And the Raytheon.
Yeah, we do too.
Anyway, the executives come and go. Vice president, new vice, new president, CEO. I don't even remember the new vice president anymore because they come and go. They crank up the numbers. They reduce the expense by firing people. And they increase the profit by raising the price. And there's a good margin there. And they jump out with a golden parachute. A better and more paying job. Where's the loyalty? Where's the royalty? I mean, they don't know that kind of thing. They cannot understand staying in one company, working for a company, commit to that company until they retire. They want something quick. They want something fast. Looking out after one. Who? Themselves. Nehemiah resists the temptation like that. He cares about people. So he stayed with the people. Verse 18b. Last portion. Yet in spite of this, I did not demand governance provision because bondage was heavy on who? These people. So it is important to, when we serve body of Christ, we got to remember it's not about the ministry, it's about people. Let me repeat. It is not about ministry. It is about what? People. Chuck Swindoll he quoted from somebody, I forgot who that was. Preach to those who are hurting, and there are a couple, one or two in every pew. That's the intention. While Eisenhower said this, it is so good, I'll just quote it for you. In order for man to be a leader, he must have followers. To have a followers, he must have their confidence. Hence, the supreme quote for the leader is unquenchable integrity. If men's associates find him guilty of phoniness, if they find that he lacks forthright integrity, he will fail. His teaching and action must square with each other. Isn't that good? So integrity scales with prosperity. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 19. Remember me, O God, for good, according to all I have done for these people. Being demoted is tough, but being promoted and handling that promotion is tougher. Let's come up with a couple of applications. Number one, let not forget any promotion or any recognition are coming from God, not from our own. Any recognition or any promotion are not coming from our own, but they come from God. It is all by Him, not by ours. Second application, we must remember that our personal integrity is the walking testimonies to those who are around us to show God's goodness. Our personal integrity is a walking testimony, live testimony to unbelievers. If we are not going to do that, do me a favor, don't say you're a Christian. If we are not going to show our integrity, let's not say we are Christian. Okay? Because we disgrace God's name. Any questions?